It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. And we have got a fabulous show planned for you today. In studio with me is one of my favorite people. That is Rick Rome, who is the president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver. It's great to have you here.
Kim, thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the show and hearing from our guests and all the table topics today.
Well, so we're going to hear from, I think it's five or six of our fellow Toastmasters. We have two Toastmasters groups. One that meets up in Longmont, and then one that meets in Denver. And actually, our meeting is tomorrow, isn't it, in Denver? Yeah,
we do have a meeting tomorrow, and our topic is a moral case for capitalism. So come down if you want to have a conversation about what it is that's good about capitalism and moral.
Well, you know, and the thing about Liberty Toastmasters, I've been a member for a long time, and the first time that I attended this table topics, it's like impromptu. And my knees were knocking. I was so nervous to get up in front of everyone. And people, it's on Saturday morning. Both of them are on Saturday morning. The one in Denver is on the first and third Saturdays. And the ones in, Longmont. Is on the second and fourth. But tomorrow, 10 o'clock, down at the Independence Institute, come down and join us because I always learn something. I always learn something.
Well, we're dealing with a lot of people who are high-performing people who have a definite interest in developing leadership skills and listening skills and also speaking skills as a ancillary benefit to the program.
And there's going to be a competition, isn't there? Yeah, something?
So Liberty Toastmasters is hosting the area competition where five of the local clubs in the area put together their best speakers. We come in, we do evaluations, and the winner of that competition goes on to division. And the winner of that competition moves up further until in August when we have the international competition, which is being held in Paris this year. So if you have a love for cheese, wine, and public speaking, book your tickets early.
Sounds good, kind of good. Okay, so when is that competition?
So the competition is going to be on February 25th, Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Same place, the Independence Institute.
And let's see, the website, isn't it? It's Liberty Toastmasters. Is it liberty.toastmasters.org? Is that what it is? I think it is.
That is one of the websites. I typically just go to Toastmasters.org, see Find a Club, and type in Liberty Toastmasters.
Okay. So in the third and fourth segment, we have offered a subject, and that is regarding the divisiveness that is rampant in America today. And, Lincoln famously said, he said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And Lincoln said that in 1858. But that's also biblical. It's in Mark 3:25. And this division in America is so rampant that we need to figure out ways to start to unite us. And so I cannot wait to hear from our fellow Toastmasters to see what they have to say about that.
Well, and the thing I've found, Kim, is the division I think that we're seeing is just on the extremes on both sides. One's calling fascist, one's calling communist, and in the middle is all the rest of us who are just trying to get along and find a way to have that compassionate experience that is the American dream.
And Rick Rome, that is one of the reasons that we do this show, is so that we can talk about these issues that are out there and get our brains around the issues so that we can converse with people in calm, reasonable conversations. Steve, I know that maybe you're not in the most calm. I think you're more in your Mr. Curmudgeon mood today, and it's Friday. How could you be a curmudgeon on Friday, Steve?
Drugs. Or the lack thereof.
So we've got a really fun show planned today. But before we get into that, being grateful for what we have is really important. And if you're grateful, you typically won't be yelling at other people. And I am so grateful for our team. Steve, for you, don't get a big head, okay? For Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie, for all of your great work. And you, our listeners, my fellow Americans, you have a purpose today. Go out and strive for excellence. Take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Each of you, you're treasured and you're valued. And I truly value you. Yesterday's show, Steve, we had Dr. Patrick Moore. And as many of you may remember, he was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. And he is now, he calls himself the Sensible Environmentalist. And thank you. I have emails that I need to respond to some of you there. But you really appreciated the show because we were talking about these issues in calm, reasonable voices. But if I recall, Steve, I asked him about climate change and Greta Thunberg. And instead of all the big words that he was using on some of the other things, he said, it's really dumb.
Sometimes you just have to get down to the most fundamental layer and clear the air.
So be sure and go to my website, and all the show recaps are there, as well as all the podcasts. And that website is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, KimMunson.com. And within 24 hours, we have all of the show recaps and podcasts there. As we look at these issues, we are Americans. We are liberty people. Liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately has to come down to force, and it is never compassionate, ever, to take other people's rights, their property, or freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something is a good idea, then it does not need force to implement it. We're seeing the socialization, the control of government, of key things that make our lives better, and we need to get our brains around this and push back on that. We see this in transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare, all of these things, and we need to understand the issues and then move us back to freedom instead of force. So again, be sure and check out my website, KimMunson.com. Our inspiration for today, okay, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. So, Rick Rome, do you have a team?
Well, I'm going to have to vote for Kansas City, even though it pains my heart to do it.
Well, you and I are both, we both have ties to Kansas.
We have ties to Kansas, yes. But I've been a Bronco fan for a lot of years, and it's just been a painful season. So,
well, that happened, although it's been 49 years since the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl. So, you know, we can, and actually, I have ties to Kansas, and then I have Niners fans in my family. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an interesting day. But I said to Steve yesterday as we were working on the outline, you know, who is one of the most inspirational coaches? And he said Tom Landry. And as you may remember, Tom Landry was an American professional football player and coach. He was the first head coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the National Football League, a position he held for 29 seasons. During his coaching career, he created many new formations and methods, such as the now popular 4-3 defense and the flex defense system, made famous by the doomsday defense squads he created during his tenure with the Cowboys. His 29 consecutive years from 1960 to 1988 as the coach of one team is an NFL record, along with the 20 consecutive winning seasons, which is considered to be his most impressive professional accomplishment. Steve, I didn't realize all that.
I think, isn't he the one also credited with the shotgun?
I'm not sure.
The way the ball is snapped, sometimes the quarterback is back.
Why am I thinking that it was a Notre Dame coach that did that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think, you know what? Maybe Jason McBride will know.
Yes.
We'll have to ask him down at the bottom of the hour.
We'll lie in wait for him.
Yes. Okay. So, okay. And this is Tom Landry's quote. He says, coaching is making men do what they don't want so that they can become what they want to be. Again, coaching is making men do what they don't want so that they can become what they want to be. I love that, Steve.
I can only imagine after 29 seasons, the legions of men who are still alive today who played under him in that time frame and what their opinion, their memories are.
You know, to come across people that challenge you to be better, to become a better version of yourself is a pretty amazing gift. But I have a joke. In Liberty Toastmasters, we always have humor. So I try to incorporate that into the show, Rick Rome. And sometimes I struggle with a joke. Oh, quit it. Quit rolling your eyes, Steve. But I got a good one today. So if I don't think it's a good one, I'm not going to push it too much. But okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. On the first day of school, a first grade teacher explains to her class that she is a Niners fan. She asks her students to raise their hands if they, too, are Niners fans. Wanting to impress their teacher, everyone in the class raised their hand except one little girl. The teacher looks at the girl with surprise. Janie, why didn't you raise your hand? She said, because I'm not a Niners fan. And the teacher, still shocked, asks, well, you're not a Niners fan, then who are you a fan of? And she said, well, I am a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm proud of it. The teacher could not believe her ears. Janie, please tell us why you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan. She said, well, because my mom's a Chiefs fan, my dad's a Chiefs fan, so I'm a Chiefs fan too. Well, said the teacher in an obviously annoyed tone, that is no reason for you to be a Chiefs fan. You don't have to be just like your parents all the time. What if your mom was an idiot and your dad was a moron? What would you be then? She said, I'd be a Niners fan.
I could see that one coming. Yes.
Okay. Patty had the great idea that we would highlight or lowlight, shall we say, a bill each day that's being presented down at the State House. And this is one that made Mr. Curmudgeon Steve even more curmudgeon-y today, and that is the Senate Bill 20038, the statewide biodiesel blend requirement for diesel sales. Now, when we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, there's code words, and one of those code words is requirement, okay? So the summary of the legislation per the legislative council staff, and you can find that at the website leg.colorado.gov. And there's so many PBIs involved. And, you know, PBIs are politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. Additionally, it will add to the cost of transporting goods, and that will be passed on to the consumer. So, you know, our everyday hardworking people out there, it's like all these different ways. It's a thousand ways to get into their pocket, and they don't even know it. So here we go. This bill requires, force word, all diesel fuel sold or offered for sale in Colorado between June 1st and September 15th each year to be blended with a percentage of biodiesel and phases in an implementation schedule as follows. Diesel must contain at least 5% biodiesel by June 1st of 2021 and at least 10% biodiesel by June of 2023. Now, the Air Quality Control Commission of the Department of Public Health and Environment, in consultation, now these are your PBIs, your bureaucrats, in consultation with the Division of Oil and Public Safety in the Department of Labor and Employment, must promulgate rules. That's another code word for force, rules. And it's going to, one, establish a waiver process by which a distributor or retailer of diesel fuel may seek a temporary waiver from the biodiesel requirements for good cause shown, such as demonstrating an extreme disruption in the supply of biodiesel or extreme weather conditions. Okay, now waiver, that is code for picking winners and losers, okay? And it requires the labeling of biodiesel blended fuel to reflect the percentage of biodiesel included in the blended fuel. The commission may make rules as it deems necessary to implement the bill, which may include accelerating the timeline for increasing the blending standard. Standard is another word, code word for force, or further increasing the blending standard. Now, Steve, you may remember that I went down to the Air Quality Control Commission down at the Colorado Division of Public Health and Environment. They were doing their rulemaking on the LEVs and the ZEVs, the low-emission vehicles and the ZEVs, and they were having public testimony. And this is one of the things that they do. So they say, oh, we had public testimony and nobody showed up. Or we had public testimony and these people showed up. So a hardworking person, there is no way that you can go to all of these meetings, Rick, and testify. Mm-hmm. So it's another way that they kind of control things. But they were having public testimony, they said, for, I think, 2 or 3 hours during the day and then during the evening. And it was from 6 to 8 in the evening. I got there at 7:15, and they closed up shop. So here I am taking my time, my effort to get down there, and they weren't even there, but yet they hide behind all of this rulemaking stuff. What's your comment, Rick?
Well, and I'll tell you, Kim, while you're describing that bill, I can't help but think just how much fuel prices are going to go up as a result of food product competition with the passage of USMCA and all the agricultural products that are going to be going on the international market. So I doubt they've even thought about that cost that goes into the scoring for this particular bill.
Well, and that's going to be passed on to the consumer. We take it for granted. You know, when we, I remember, I'll date myself, as a kid, we didn't have, when you went into the grocery store, you know, in the winter, we didn't have all of these fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, I remember canned things is what you ate in the winter. And now we take it for granted. You can go in and you can buy an avocado, you can buy an apple, you know, on December 31st. It is an amazing thing. And what happens here is that's going to make all those things more expensive for that little family that's just trying to get by. So they're making that more expensive, food more expensive. They're making fuel more expensive, housing more expensive. And they're really not doing what they are supposed to be doing, and that is get out of the way, make sure that our communities are safe, that people can go after their hopes and dreams. And so this is just another bill, that Senate Bill 20038, Rick Rome.
I'm also very concerned, I guess, about what the science is behind the impact on air quality, which is supposedly what that bill is supposed to address. Are there any metrics that demonstrate you get less carbon dioxide from a biofuel versus a carbon-based petroleum fuel?
Well, and when I was talking with Patty, some engines, she mentioned some engines may not be able to actually handle that. So then you're starting to possibly reduce the length of a fleet of trucks. I mean, this is not what government is supposed to be doing. But again, you can see all of these force words all over here. So it looks like I need to go to break. I kind of got a little long-winded. Steve, you do have your ears on. Is there anything you wanted to say before I jump in here?
Well, we could go all the way up to 7 o'clock on this one. So it just suffice it to say that as I was reading through it before you called this morning, I could just – their track record on ethanol is still fresh in my mind. And here we go again. And the long-term damage that's out there by forcing this down our throats, it just makes me ill.
Well, fortunately, it's Friday, and so you'll be able to recover a little bit, Steve.
Either that or I'll be ill all weekend. So,
Before we go to break, though, it is the big game this weekend, and the place to watch the game is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. You can join them for the big game, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a 55-inch HD TV. They've got these new roasted wings, and you know, the Avs and Nuggets are also chasing a playoff spot, so you can certainly enjoy those while you're watching the Avs and the Nuggets. Wednesday is Dine and Wing Day. All the wings you can eat for $15.99. And if you don't want to cook, you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door when I have the girls over on Wednesday nights. That's what we do. For more information, you can go to my website, Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com. And just look at all the sponsors there, and all of them have a landing page, great information, and I highly recommend all of them. Let's go to break. I'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Friday. Thrilled to have in studio with me my friend who is the president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver, Rick Rome, and it's great having you here.
Good morning again, Kim. Thanks so much for having us. I know the club truly appreciates this opportunity.
Well, we're going to be talking with five of our colleagues, and they're going to share how they think that we can start to bring our country back to united, because there is so much division out there. So I can't wait to hear what they have to say. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. Before we do that, though, there was a piece that was in Colorado Community Media, and it's economists are discussing ways to keep Colorado competitive. It was an annual forum, and it was down in the South Metro, our part of town, Steve. This is the economy of Denver's South Metro area will look a lot like last year's, experts say, and the speed bumps to the region's growth remain present as ever. Colorado continues to be a national model of economic growth. The state is a leader in tech jobs and workforce education, yet it slipped nationally from 4th to 9th in 1 year. That's pretty significant, Steve. That was in a Forbes ranking for the best places to do business. Now, one has to wonder, why did they slip five spots? Could it be what's happening down at the State House?
I'm thinking oil and gas.
Oil and gas, yes, it could be. Sustaining that growth will require a look at the state's funding sources and local priorities, local economists say. Here we go. Next page. The risks to Colorado's economy are frankly not economic risks, says J.J. Ament, CEO of the Metro Denver Economic Development Corporation. The risk to Colorado's economy in 2020 is politics and policy. We can't let complacency develop of having it so good for so long that we don't pay attention both at the Capitol in Denver and in Washington. Ament said the 2020 economy will look at similar to last year's economy. The same problems in the region remain, namely the state's local politics and policies. Ament said the minimum wage increase, that's a forced minimum wage, which went into effect this year, was one example of a policy that could end up hurting more than it helps. Ament focused on how to stoke Colorado's competitiveness with states such as California, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, Georgia, Utah, and Texas, states that Colorado's in constant competition with. The presentation and panel discussion centered around keeping Colorado competitive. Ament said Colorado is slipping in some categories that could hurt its job growth in the long run, specifically the state's trouble with transportation funding. And attracting and retaining skilled workers locally will be important to maintain the state's upward trajectory. Colorado ranks second in the nation behind Massachusetts in workforce education level. And then Henry Sobenet, I think is how you say his name, said to remain competitive, the state needs to invest in its public transportation system. Now, do you think that he means roads and bridges, or does he mean trains and buses and bikes?
I'm thinking that the educated population and the people who are coming to Colorado to work are working for Lockheed Martin, United Launch Alliance, Ball Aerospace, and all these other high-tech organizations that support the military presence we have in this state has nothing to do with light rail.
Well said. Okay. Sobenet referred to the incremental revenue growth seen from fuel taxes from $4.5 million in 2003 to about $6 million in 2019. That's compared to the 43% rise in prices in that time. Sobenet presented a diagram illustrating how Colorado's taxpayers' Bill of Rights, there you go, Steve, clashes with the state's requirement for increasing public school funding, Amendment 23, and limits to property tax growth, the Gallagher Amendment, forcing the state to foot high education bills, which detracts from funding for public roads. This is actually dishonest because it does not even talk about the explosive growth that we have had in health and human services. And that is really not a proper role of government. But what you see here is they are teeing up for this November to go after Tabor, our Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, as well as the Gallagher Amendment. And so you're seeing this right now. They're working to start to move that Overton window to soften the public up. Because the two things that the public typically, you know, likes to make sure that we spend money on is educating our kids, getting a good education for our children, and being able to go where we want to when we want to. So they are softening all of this up. It says no one suggested Tabor should be repealed or modified, but they're sneaky on this. But both Ament and Sobenet suggested the state needs to find better sources of funding for transportation. How about if transportation is a priority, Rick Rome, that you make it a priority instead of, what was it, 125 miles of bike path, Steve, that the city of Denver just decided to spend money on?
Right around the corner.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
It's coming.
Voters last year turned down Proposition CC, which would have allowed the state to retain, which would actually allow the state to keep all of your Tabor, to keep all of your Tabor tax refunds without having the good manners to ask us. And then the third panelist, skillful CEO Beth Cobert, suggested the two employers in the audience to focus on skills. Cobert spoke about Skillful's mission, and it's an initiative to create a skills-based labor market from the Markle Foundation, a nonprofit tech and healthcare company. And, you know, this is something when I was on city council that I saw, you know, the powers that be say, oh, my gosh, we have to educate our kids to be in the workforce. I actually don't think that that's the case. I think that what we do is we give kids the education, the things, the basics that they can read and write and do arithmetic, run a household, do books, all of those things, and they will figure it out. We have been dumbing our kids down in education, and the idea that we want to just train people for a job, that is antithetical to the American idea.
I will say this, Kim. I'm in a situation professionally where I'm blessed to work with some of the best and brightest young people around. As an engineer, these young people are self-motivated, and they're coming out with new ideas, innovative thoughts and ideas, and the more we regiment what it is they're allowed to do within the workplace, within their skill sets, it's the less we get in terms of their innovative skills and the capacity they have to contribute.
Rick Rome, you just nailed it. And that is that elites don't look at the creativity and innovation that people have. And when you start to try to pigeonhole people into just being able to fit into this job, then in essence, you're shutting that down. And America, we have had the liberty to be free, you know, free thinking. And you know, what we can think about, what we can create, we don't even know if we can unleash that. And so I am very displeased with what happened at this particular economic summit down there. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, just fantastic. Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic. I just told you.
I was going to ask you the next question, but I thought I'd ask you one twice. The shotgun formation in football, do you know, was it Tom Landry? Did he develop that, or do you know?
Oh, I don't know who came up with it. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I just know Peyton Manning liked that way better than under center.
Okay. Well, since that was the Super Bowl, we were talking about these different things, and I had a quote from Tom Landry, one of the greatest coaches of all time. So, Jason McBride, you know what? I know that we had some things we were going to talk about, and I've neglected to get that right in front of me, so help me out here.
Well, I had sent you a little bit of info about the coronavirus panic yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to talk about that for a minute.
Well, what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's I think it's interesting the way they make a great big deal about it. Kim, I found a quote from the Guardian newspaper, and this was just from a couple of days ago, and they're talking about SARS back in 2002. And they talk about, they say SARS spread virtually unchecked to 37 countries, causing a global panic, infecting more than 8,000 people and killing more than 750. So even, 18 years later when, let's face it, nothing really happened with that, nothing major happened, they're still talking about it like it was a global epidemic or some kind of a catastrophe. Well, when we look at this coronavirus, as of yesterday, we had about 8,000 infected, 170 had passed away. But I'll tell you, Kim, more people just in the USA alone get infected by and die from the plain old flu on a daily basis than what's happening in China with this coronavirus. So to me, it's, there's really not that much going on, and they're making a huge deal out of it.
Well, and, you know, we'll have to stay tuned to that because, you know, it seems to me like all the news, it's always, you know, it puts people on edge all the time. Now, that certainly can be something to be concerned about. But as you mentioned, people die from the flu every day here, so we'll keep an eye on that. But, you know, let's jump over here. Presidential puts on quite a few great events every year, and the next ones are coming up soon, February 6th and the 8th in three locations, Arvada, Parker, and Windsor. What's the subject going to be?
Well, that's right, Kim. We're doing the subject, taxes in retirement. A lot of times when planning for retirement, you know, we don't really think about taxes as much as we should. We know we'll have to pay, but I've seen a lot of plans that just kind of hope for the best when it comes to taxes.
Well, you know, I think we all do that to a certain extent. And are there things that we can do when we get to retirement, or maybe even things that are already there that can help us with our tax situation?
Well, I think so, Kim. I find a lot of people headed into retirement or, you know, set up to pay more taxes than they should. So we'll show you how a simple change to your income strategy could potentially reduce your taxes by over 30%. Now, we can't promise we'll do that for everybody. You might have everything structured correctly already, but I'll tell you, a second set of eyes to check it out won't hurt anything.
That's for sure. And with that kind of savings potential, everyone who can should certainly attend these workshops.
Well, absolutely. I would say don't find yourself in a position, Kim, 5 or 6 years into retirement where you find out if you had done things differently, you might be in a much better situation, because after enough time goes by, it becomes more and more difficult to change things as some of your decisions become irrevocable.
Wow. So I would highly recommend that folks attend these. So is it easy to sign up?
Well, I think it is, Kim. You can go to airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Give us a call at 303-694-1600. We have three locations, Arvada, Parker, and Windsor. In all three locations, we're doing on both February 6th, which is Thursday, and the 8th, which is a Saturday. And, Kim, you've also been very gracious to have a sign-up page on your website as well. Thank you.
Oh, most definitely. So go to Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com. And the sign-up information on this is airpresidential.com or my website. The phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. The locations are Arvada, Parker, and Windsor. That's February 6th and 8th. And, you know, be sure to talk to any of the great advisors over at Presidential. They can help with any of your financial questions. Steve looks like he has something he wants to say.
Kim and Jason, let's get the scoop on the shotgun here. We have great listeners. Michael from Brighton just totally filled me in. The originator, it was Red Hickey in 1960 of the San Francisco 49ers was the first to evolve this thing. And the funny part is that the New York Jets picked up on it right away to keep gimpy-kneed quarterback Joe Namath from avoiding the rush. Then Roger Staubach and the Dallas Cowboys further developed it.
Okay, so that brings us back to Tom Landry. So, Jason, there you have it. We always have nuggets of information between you and Steve and our listeners, Michael. Thank you so much.
All right, we're all smarter. I'll talk to you Monday.
Sounds great. Have a great day, Jason. Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Rick Rome, who is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North, is in studio, and we'll be talking with some of our colleagues about how to bring us back to a united America with all this divisiveness that is going on. So we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, MONSON.com. In studio with me is Rick Rome. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver. And Rick, we have some of our colleagues that are going to be calling in. And who's on the line now?
Kim, Greg Morrissey's on the line. And Greg, today we're talking about how to address the divisiveness in the country and heal as a nation. What are your thoughts on this topic?
Good morning. My thoughts on that topic, I'm reading a book called The Political Thought of the Civil War. And Chapter 9 is written by Professor W.B. Allen. I get to meet him next weekend at the Boulder County Republican Dinner.
Ah.
And after reading through this book, what I found out that some of those issues back then and some of those issues we see today are still the same and are still there. What I'd like to see, being an immigrant myself and going through the process and getting my U.S. citizenship, I'd like to see a day where the people come together and end racial prejudice altogether. And we become one people, and we trust each other, know each other, and help each other.
Well, how can we do that, Greg? Do you have any thoughts on how to do that, how to bridge that gap?
how to bridge that gap, it's going to be with some heartfelt communication. I'm aware of a group in Colorado called the People of Color of Colorado. And because of the my daughter being half Hispanic, she's a member of that group. I've met several of those people and gone to those meetings. And with their point of view coming across and what they see on a daily basis isn't told pretty much anywhere. But what I'd like to see is, and then I've asked a lot of people, what is your thought on racial prejudice? They said, oh, well, I'm not prejudiced, but some are, which is unfortunate. But there have to be some kind of event, a day, something like that. We all come together, we all get to meet, and our differences aren't miles apart, they're just a couple inches apart. And those differences are priceless in thought processes, how to solve problems, and how to communicate. It's just a thought I had for this nation to come together, be one people under God in the USA. Don't let it go.
Okay. Well, Greg, thank you so much. You know, I think that, you know, we've moved to where we are seeing people more as in a group. That seems to be, I think, from a political standpoint, what's happened in America. And so going to, you know, what you've just said, instead of looking at people as part of that group, we realize that we're each individuals. And I'm so glad that you decided to come to America and be a citizen, Greg Morrissey. And I always love talking with you.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Okay. And Rick Rome, who's our next guest?
So our next guest is also a former president of the Liberty Toastmaster Club, Christy Whaley. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Liberty lovers.
Good morning. So today we're talking about how do we heal as a nation, Christy. What are your thoughts on the idea and the topic?
Well, my short answer is we don't.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is, basically, the question ought to be, how do we win at the ballot box? Because we're up against a group of people, the Democrat leadership primarily, that are acting immorally. They're acting, they would destroy this country. And we see that by their actions, this illegitimate impeachment that is going on, the fact that they will come down on anybody that doesn't promote their orthodoxy, even, you know, even if they step out of line just a bit. So my concern is that we just have to win, and then we can go after people. Excuse me, I'm a little nervous this morning. It's just unlike me. We go after the apathetic or the people that just don't get involved. Sometimes they're just busy. I mean, now at some of these Trump rallies, you're seeing their polling and finding out that 20-25% of the people there are Democrats. This is fantastic news. But when you look at the leadership, they are in some cases delusional, but they want power. And you see it over and over. And then they're kind of crazy. I mean, Elizabeth Warren has talked about a truth group or something, like she should be in charge of a truth group. And then she wants to have a 9-year-old transgender kid vet her Secretary of Education if she gets elected, as president. So, I mean, they're kind of off the wall. And how do you appease people that are, in cases like this, evil? I mean, our founding fathers didn't. We could have gotten along with King George. All we had to do was just throw up our hands and go, okay, we'll give up our freedoms. I mean, during the Civil War, well, we wouldn't have had to have a Civil War if we just decided, okay, these states want to be slave states. We'll let them alone. They can go ahead and be slave states. But no, sometimes you have to fight. And hopefully we don't have to fight. We just have to win. And then we can convince people.
And Christy, what you're talking about, though, I think is engaging in the battle of ideas. And actually, yes, words can be so powerful. And I want to disclaim just a little bit. The Democrat Party has really been taken over, I think, by radical activists. And the Democrat Party of today is not the Democrat Party of JFK. And so when people, you know, try to look at this as this camp or that camp, it's really, I think it's the ideas. And with President Trump, the fact that he has said for every new regulation that we have to get rid of two, these are things that start to free people up. And so we engage in this battle of ideas. And I think you're seeing people hungry for freedom. And that's why, you know, you're a member, as Rick mentioned, you're a former president of Liberty Toastmasters, that we come together on a regular basis. We don't always agree on all of our ideas. We're respectful, and we kick the tires on these ideas, which I think is inherently American, Christy Whaley. And you're such a great a great person with words, and just really, you know, it's an honor to get to be in the club with you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you both of you.
Okay, and that was Christy Whaley. Rick Rome, president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver, who's our next guest?
Our next guest is Sue Pratt, a member of our Liberty North Club. Sue, today we're talking about how to heal as a nation and come together as a country. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Kim, in order to overcome divisiveness, which is the tendency to cause disagreement or hostility between people, I believe our nation needs to appreciate what we as a people have achieved together since our forefathers first established the Constitution, in that we are all created equal in the eyes of God. We all have to unify and respect the rights of each individual within our United States here in America. We're a united people, and if one was to make a list of why each of us lives here in America, I'm sure we would all place the word freedom at the top of our list. For centuries, we've experienced a melting pot of people who have come to America to find freedom and individual rights, which is what our Constitution stands for. And we need to be reminded that our Constitution begins with the first three words, we the people, are a united people, and we should be working together to make America great again, which is the theme of our Republican Party. Freedom versus force has been a recurring theme in your own program here at KLZ Radio, Kim. And as a former city council member yourself, Kim, in Lone Tree, Colorado, I'm sure that there have been times when you yourself were called upon to unify the residents in your own community to solve any problems and or challenges that may have arisen during your own tenure on city council. So in conclusion, if we find common ground as a basis to work from, we can overcome any differences we may have within our country. And unless government gives us more choices to explore and the freedom, we deserve to find our own solutions. I'll leave you with this final question. Why is anyone that unhappy about the freedoms they have now, and why would anyone vote in favor of taking those very freedoms away? There should be no argument or disagreement amongst us if we find common ground to solve our own differences. I would also note that freedom in America each contains seven letters to express their meanings, and the power of seven has throughout time been a driving force not to be reckoned with. These two words stand alone to represent our country, and they are why we are so well respected within the world we live in. That's how I feel about this topic.
Sue Pratt, thank you so much. And while you were mentioning that, I was just thinking about the words at the Statue of Liberty, because we hear many times, particularly during this whole immigration thing, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. But the next thing that we hear is yearning to breathe free. And that is the thing that I think has brought us all together as Americans. If you are yearning to be free, this is the place for you. And we have so many success stories, no matter what your descriptor is of the American idea. Sue Pratt, thank you so much. It's great to talk with you this morning.
Thank you for having me and swearing him.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, another one of our colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters North is on the line. And so this is Kim Munson. Rick Rome is in studio with me, and we'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal.
If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. All the show recaps, podcasts are there. In studio with me is my friend, Rick Rome. You are the president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver, and it's just great having you here.
That is correct, Kim. It's fantastic to be here, and I am the president of Liberty Toastmasters Denver.
And we're meeting tomorrow?
We are meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m. at the Independence Institute. Our topic is going to be a moral case for capitalism. All guests are welcome. All ideas are welcome.
So join us. It's going to be a great day. Who do we have on the line now?
So our next speaker is Gina Curley. She's a member of our Liberty Toastmasters North Club. Gina, today we are talking about, in a divided country, how do we heal as a nation?
Good morning, Kim and Rick. Thank you for having me. I wanted to just mention one of the ways we can address this is to do away with labeling people as much as we can. We have... labels such as Christian, Muslim, Jew, Black, White, Hispanic, Gay, Lesbian, and so on. And if we label people, what we're doing is setting an expectation of a person that is based on a characteristic such as the ones I just named. And when we continue to do that, what other people see is what other people do, I should say, is they make judgments rather than seeing that person for who they really are. And I like to say that we're all part of the same race, the human race. There's a quote that I'd like to share from Dennis Palumbo, who's a contributing author to the Huffington Post, and he's a licensed psychotherapist and author. He says, put bluntly, to label is to divide. To divide is to upend equality, and without a basic sense of equality, there can never be the kind of social and cultural adhesion that ensures what our founding fathers called domestic tranquility.
Wow. You know what, Gina? You have nailed it, I think. And as we have seen this movement to put people into groups and then not like that other group, that is something that has... I think there's actually been an effort to make that happen. And so each of us on a daily basis need to look at each other instead of the label, which is a label is maybe just describing us. And so that characteristic does not define us. I think maybe that's what you're saying. And so look at that as each individual. Gina Curley, that was beautiful. Rick, comment?
I think it was fantastic. I mean, it's just a matter of learning to recognize us for who we are, judge us by the content of our character.
Yeah, somebody very famous said that one time, right?
Yeah, very recently. We had a celebration over that.
That's for sure, Martin Luther King Jr. So, Gina Curley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you both.
Okay. And you're not going to believe this. On our on the monitor here, Brad Beck, Steve has put Sir Bradley Beck is on the line. When did that happen? You know what? I guess there's an opening over there in the royal family, and I didn't know you were the one that filled it.
You know, as a Yank, I don't want to lower myself to be Sir anything. So. Well, isn't it great to be alive and be in Colorado?
It is, except when I start thinking about all the craziness that's happening in government. I know that you're watching that as well. Rick Rome is in studio, and, you know, he's our president. And you are one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters, which, Brad, you have helped people get their voices, be able to communicate better. And, you know, words really matter. Ronald Reagan brought down the Berlin Wall with words, and that is why what we do at Liberty Toastmasters Denver on the first and third Saturdays and up at Liberty Toastmasters North on the second and fourth Saturdays, it's just a few hours, but engaging in the battle of ideas and finding your voice, That is where I think the battle for America is. So the question, what's the question on the table here, Rick?
So, Brad, our question today is, how do we heal as a nation? How do we get over some of this divisiveness that we have as a country?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm just looking forward to answer it because I am a person who looks at the glass half full. I start with yes. And as you both know, I'm a big reader, and there's a little thing that happens usually every Sunday on my little Facebook page, but we won't go into that now. I am reading a book by Yuval Levin from the American Enterprise Institute, and it's entitled A Time to Build. And the premise of the whole book is that our institutions, those things, and he defines what an institution is, those durable forms of our common life, the frameworks, the structures, the things we do together. And so one of the things that I've been active in since I've been in Colorado nearly 20 years, a little over 20 actually, is I got involved in the community right away because I felt it was important to be part of the fabric of our community. And so I'm an Optimist Club member. I am a member of the Optimist Club of Erie, Colorado. And one of the things that we do to mold those people to come in is that we recite the Optimist Creed, something written by a gentleman named Christian D. Larson in 1912. And it starts with promise yourself, which means you're personally responsible. And I think if we start with that, if we take the initiative as Americans to heal the divide by talking to our neighbors, by doing things in our own community, and making sure that we're doing the best we can do every day, I think then we start to build those institutions back up for our family, for our communities, for our universities, for any place where people come together and build. Too many people, as Levin talks about on his book, is they want to look for a platform and mold that institution. And what he's talking about is usually in a traditional format, the institution forms us. It helps build our character. And I think just like our Constitution, it was written and there's a process to amend it to make it more amenable to modern life. But the Constitution itself is there as a foundational document. It's there for us to look at and to live by and not change because nine people in our Supreme Court think it should go this way or that way. And so I'm looking for the people to get involved, and you do that in your community, you do that in your state, and then you say to Washington, D.C., you know what, the power doesn't reside there, it resides in me.
And, you know, when we talk about local control, local government, people think about keep it local. The first place to start, the most local, is right here with ourselves. Yep. So, Sir Bradley Beck, thank you. But there's one other thing. I think that you've got a big dinner coming up soon, right?
Yeah, up in Boulder County. We have the Boulder County Republican Lincoln Dinner, and it is on February 8th. And we're excited to have William B. Allen. And Professor Allen is the only professor of conservative thought up the CU Boulder campus that's been invited to come back twice. And he has written incredible books. I think Greg Morrissey referenced a chapter recently. And we also have Isabel Brown, who is an influencer, and folks probably know her from Prager Force as well as Turning Point USA. She's going to be our master of ceremonies. So it'll be fun and food and lots of networking. And people can get tickets at BOCOGOP, that's BOCOGOP.org. And it is on Saturday, February 8th, and it is in the belly of the beast in Boulder, Colorado at the Embassy Suites. We invite folks to come down and just enjoy the evening with us with William B. Allen and Isabel Brown.
Well, Bradley Beck, thank you so much for all that you do and for helping so many people find their voices and develop their leadership skills through Liberty Toastmasters. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Rick Rome, thank you so much for being here. It is always a treat to get to do this Liberty Toastmasters Day.
I am 100% with you on that, Kim. It is absolutely a joy in my life to come in here and do this.
And so what's your thoughts? How can we bring us together?
So I was thinking about that on the way over here. It's almost like we have a dysfunctional marriage, and we're involved in a country where we deeply love each other and we have such common convictions about the things that we share and are engaged in, but we just haven't learned how to talk to each other. We've grown apart. And I think that part of that process of healing is learning to listen to each other's ideas, learning to express our own thoughts and ideas and build on that to heal those relationships. And Toastmasters is a vehicle that allows us to articulate our voice and also to learn to listen.
Well, and to that point, I was thinking also about kind of a family example. And that is when we have government get out of control, like what we see happening down at the State House, all these rules and regulations. As a parent, you know, you hear stories of an overbearing parent that the child then, you know, it takes a long time that for them to grow up and to, you know, be able to take care of themselves and to live responsibly and freely. And it's been because perhaps an overbearing parent that won't let them make their decisions and won't get out of the way so that they can grow up. And that's what I see with what's happening down at our State House right now is we've got some dysfunctional people that think that they are the parents and they're holding down everyday hardworking Coloradans. So we have to engage in that battle of ideas.
Larger heads will prevail.
That's true. So once again, Liberty Toastmasters, ours is liberty.toastmasters.org, but you said just go to the Toastmasters website, huh?
And search for Liberty Toastmasters, a club near me. You can find us on our Facebook page if you want to keep informed about what upcoming events are going on. And also we have a club event on the 25th and a club event tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at the Independence Institute.
So join us. You and I will both be there.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Our quote for today, Steve, is Tom Landry. I love this quote. He says, "The quality of a man's life is in direct proportion to his commitment to excellence." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. I am blessed to get to work with so many people that strive for excellence every day. So God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new